Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Platzer coming at you live from my house. It's book club time. Today is Monday, January 15 of 24, Martin Luther King Day. Many of you are off from work today. There's no mail, as far as I know. Federal holiday throughout the country. A lot of offices are closed. However, happily, I think the BMV is open. So I got to register my car, and I think I can either do it over the phone or live. I was thinking of actually going to Norwood. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do letters 12 and 13 today, and I got to prepare lunch and do a bunch of things. But, you know, we're going to get a lot of work done. If we do 12 and 13 today, that'll be a good chunk. So if you've got the book, I'm on page 73. Without further ado, we're on letter number 12. This is going to be dedicated to the Aliyah, the Neshama of Gedaliah ben Moshe, who passed away. He's the late father, Brian Wallace, who is underwriting our Shiurim through the Shloshim. May the Neshama have an Aliyah, and may those who are fighting in Israel be successful. May those in hospitals be healed. May those being held hostage be released soon. Letter number 12 in the book, The Final Exam, Letters to Our Students, by Rabbi Dr. Ari Berman, President of Yeshiva University. Letter number 12, Torat Chaim, an integrated life and an ancient dilemma. My dear students, now we must take truth, MS, and the personal development of Adam and ground it in life, Chaim. The discussion about how best to live as a committed Jew did not begin at Yeshiva University. It is very ancient. One of the Talmud's most famous debates is about how to prioritize one's time for study with everything else that must get done. See the Talmud in Brachos 35b. The sages discussed the verse from the Shema that mentions the human role in agriculture. The Asafta, the Gonecha, the Siroshcha, the Yitzarecha. And you shall gather your grain, your wine, and your oil. Deuteronomy 11. This is hard work. Work that must be done in order to support ourselves and our families. Yet we read in the first chapter, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, Lo yamush sefer ha-Torah hazeh mipicha, v'agisa bo yomim v'loilam. This Torah shall not depart from your mouths, and you shall contemplate it day and night. End quote. Is it possible to farm, the Talmud ponders, if we are supposed to contemplate Torah both day and night, as Joshua mentions? Top page 74. Rabbi Shmuel was of one opinion. Set aside time not only for Torah, but also for work. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai disagreed vehemently. He asked a reasonable question that was both rhetorical and also practical. Is it possible that a person plows in the plowing season, sows in the sowing season, harvests in the harvest season, threshes in the threshing season, winnows in the windy season, and is constantly busy, then what will become of Torah? This Talmudic discussion concludes not with a ruling, but with a retrospective look at reality. Harbeya suk Rabbi Yishmael, ba'olsa bi'adam. Many acted in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, and it worked out for them. They were successful. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, b'lo olsa bi'adam. Others acted in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and they were not successful. There were people who followed both paths, but only one path was appropriate for the majority of people. This conclusion highlights the importance of both paths, that of both Rabbi Yishmael and of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. For while the path of Rabbi Yishmael works for the majority of people, the subtle implication of the Gemara is that the path of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai does work for a minority of people. And in truth, we need that minority. We need our rabbis, educators, Jewish intellectuals, thought leaders, poskim, and talmidei chachamim and chachamot. We need a segment of our population to fully and comprehensively focus on Torah studies, on learning, on teaching, and on preaching. And Baruch Hashem, at Yeshiva University, we have REITS, which stands for, of course, the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary, one of the most successful rabbinic schools in Jewish history, in addition to the Azrieli School, our Graduate School of Jewish Education. We have GPATS, G-P-A-T-S, a program for intense Torah studies for women, and a center for Torah thought and leadership. And we have the Bernard Rebel Graduate School for Jewish Academic Scholarship. Collectively, the students in these institutions make up the intellectual, spiritual, and educational leadership of tomorrow for our community and beyond. Top page 75. This is a critical path for our community in order to grow and develop. But it is not the only path, nor is it the path for the majority of our community. Consequently, we have other tracks that enable students to commit to Torah study while developing their skills and aptitudes in different directions to become the next generation's computer scientists, social workers, philosophers, doctors, entrepreneurs, health professionals, accountants, and art historians, to name just a few examples. The blessing of Yeshiva University is that we educate the wide expanse of the Jewish future, not just the clay Kodesh, but the lay Kodesh, as our predecessor, President Richard Joel, used to say. I'll explain that. Clay Kodesh means holy utensils. That is a yeshiva term. And it refers to young men who go to Kolo and Beis Medrash and Kolo and then become mechanchim, teachers, menahalim, principals, rabbanim and shuls, and they go into kashrus and chinuch, and whatever they do in the Jewish sphere, in the yeshivish sphere, and they're known as the clay kodesh, the utensils of holiness, the holy utensils. But my President Richard Joel, himself a lawyer, coined the term the lay kodesh, not the clay kodesh, but the play on the words became lay kodesh, meaning the laity, meaning the regular average people. They're also holy. So again, the blessing of YU is that they don't just educate the clay kodesh, but also the lay kodesh. And we do so by embracing the whole student. Still, the challenge laid out by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai must be addressed. If you spend your whole day planting, harvesting, and winnowing, what will happen to your Torah? It is this question that Yeshiva University's educational philosophy directly addresses. I would like to unpack our approach through the role model of our patriarch, Isaac, Yitzchak. In the book of Genesis, we read, quote, "Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh." Yitzchak went out lasuach in the field. Genesis chapter 24, verse 63. What does the word lasuach mean? Rashi, quoting Chazal, teaches that the word lasuach means that Yitzchak was praying in the field. He went out lasuach to pray in the field. Indeed, Chazal teaches that this verse is the source for the prayer of Mincha, the afternoon prayer. See the Gemara Brachos 26b. However, Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir, the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, teaches that the literal reading of the word lasuach is to plant. Yitzchak went out into the field to plant, because as we know from other verses, Yitzchak was a farmer. Top 76. To my mind, it is very telling that the same word lasuach can mean both planting and praying, for in this world lies a dual message. One must stop one's planting in order to daven, and one should view planting itself as an act of prayer. It is very important for anyone in the workforce to heed Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's warning not to get so caught up in work that one is too distracted to pray. We always need to find time in our day and work week for tefillah, prayer, and for Torah. It is no coincidence that the tefillah, the prayer that Isaac initiated, was the prayer of Mincha, because it is the prayer that most highlights this point. We are almost always in the middle of something in the afternoon when we're called upon to pause and acknowledge God in our lives. The second part of the dual message of lasuach, to plant, is that one's planting must be understood as a form of prayer. Isaac teaches us that when you are out in the world and living by the Torah, even when you're planting, You're praying. That is also Torah. There is beauty in describing both what Isaac literally did and what it signified with the same word. Our tradition does not want us to think of our lives as bifurcated, split up in half, but rather as unified by the Torah. This is Torah Chaim, a Torah of life. What would it look like if every time we prayed, we planted something metaphorically, and if every time we planted something, we saw it as an act of prayer? Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, in Pachad Yitzchak, of course he was the late Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn, in his book, Pachad Yitzchak, The Fear of Isaac, Jacob called the Almighty God, the God of my father Abraham, and the Pachad Yitzchak, and the fear of Isaac, my father. Rabbi Huttner was once asked for advice by a student who felt he was living a dual life, one at home in the religious world, and one at work in a secular society. He could not live with the dichotomy. Rabbi Huttner answered that someone who has two houses with two wives and two families is living a double life, while one who has multiple rooms in the same house is not leading a double life, but a unified life with multiple facets. The point that Rabbi Huttner was making is that one must contextualize one's entire life as Avodat Hashem, heavenly service, in all of its aspects. One's whole life should be viewed in the context of Torah so that it should appear unified and whole. Top 77. A similar story happened to me. Once in my travels, I met a father who shared with me that his son was troubled. His son used to study most of the day at YU, devoting much time to his tefillah and Torah learning. But upon graduation, he secured a much sought-after position in a high-profile business firm. Now he spends his days at work. His tefillah b'tzibur, his prayer with a minyan, is in a much faster-paced minyan than he was accustomed to at Yeshiva University. And his time to learn each day is much more circumscribed. Where, his son wondered, where is my Avodat Hashem? Where is my heavenly service? I answered the father that I was deeply moved by the question. Certainly we believe that his son's Avodat Hashem, heavenly service, godly service, is in his davening and in his Torah learning, and he still needs to find the time to devote to that. But in our yeshiva, I said, we teach that his Avodat Hashem, his divine service, is also in his hours working in the business firm. Both the content of his work, done to increase human flourishing, and the way in which he works with menschlichkeit, honesty, and compassion are expressions of his avodat Hashem, his divine service. In his current position, he has an opportunity to do a world of good. The way he models his Torah values, the way he interacts with all of his coworkers, colleagues, and people on the staff, all of this provides him with an opportunity to sanctify God's name in the world. The Talmud teaches in Yuma 86a that the command to love God is also a command to make the name of God more beloved in the world. Yehavtas Hashem Elokecha, quote, you shall love the Almighty your God, end quote. Sheyehe Shem Shemayim Mitahev Al Yadcha. It should be that thanks to you, the name of heaven, the Almighty's reputation, is made beloved. Every minute of this young man's day in his firm is an opportunity to show his love for God. This is the Torah we teach at Yeshiva University. This is what we stand for. We stand for a Torah Chaim, a Torah that embraces life in all of its potentialities and sees every minute of every day as an opportunity to actualize our Torah and serve our Creator. This is perhaps best expressed by a verse in Tehillah, Psalm 119, verse 97, in which we once again find the verb, lasuach, ma'ahavti torasecha, how I love your Torah, kol hayom hisichasi, it is my speech all day long. He translates, it is my occupation all day long, end quote. When you live an integrated life, and when what you study informs who you are and what you do, then you are serving God all day long in everything you do. Top page 78. By the way, when I was in Israel, I remember Rabbi Feigenbaum telling us about how our to-be should match our to-do, how our to-do should match our to-be. He's basically saying this, I believe. Find something that you love to do and do that thing. Let it match your personality. If you're slightly shy and introverted, I guess don't run for office. Don't be a politician. If you're shy and quiet and introverted, that may not be the way to go. Don't try to be a public speaker. Maybe it's a little bit different for you. Maybe being an accountant would be better. There's no, usually no public speaking on this world stage or something like that. No courtroom, histrionics. You're just an accountant, I shouldn't say. You're just accountants are critical and they're super smart. And some of them are super successful. And that's great. And we need them because the businesses can't function without them. It's just that they're not public speakers often. Many of them are not. It's a different kind of a sphere. Do something that you love and do that thing. And that'll be an expression of your personality, and you'll be meshing your personality with what you do for a living, and you'll feel at peace with yourself. In the Shema, we are mandated to walk with our faith. Back in. In the Shema, we are mandated to walk with our faith. It surrounds us when we lie down and when we wake up. There is nothing kinesthetic about Torah. A life of Torah is not just sitting, studying, and praying. It is active and engaging. It is the way we breathe and move in the world. This is why Torah Chayim, a Torah of life, comes after Torah Emes, a Torah of truth, as part of our educational philosophy. Truth has to meet life. These values can live side by side or be in conflict with one another. We read in Psalm 85, verse 11, for example, that Chesed ve'emet nifkashu, mercy and truth meet. Tzedek v'shalom nashaku, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. This is an interesting image. Black and white truths that we might derive from reason, learning, reading, and thinking may soften to gray as these truths encounter reality. Truth can be rigid and unbending, but it must negotiate with real people in real world situations. The values of seeking truth and making peace conflict at times because we are human, inconsistent, and flawed, and because two people may see the world in very different ways. This verse reminds us that in an ideal world, truth and peace find a way to live together on intimate, close terms. Without Torah Chayim, a Torah of life, Torah Emet, a Torah of truth, can be flat and one-dimensional. In Judaism, it has never been one or the other. There is a well-known question raised by the medieval sages as to why one says the blessing on studying Torah, La'asok b'divrei Torah, only once a day in the morning, even though there are breaks in our day between the times one actually studies Torah, when one goes to work, tends to one's family, or takes care of communal matters. In other cases of blessings on mitzvot, such a gap of time would warrant the recitation of another blessing before performing the mitzvah again. Tosfos famously answers that when it comes to learning Torah, there is no real break. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained this approach as rooted in the subconscious. Those who study Torah are like a mother who thinks about her children throughout her day when they're not with her, even when fulfilling other obligations and responsibilities. Similarly, the words of Torah are always with us throughout the day, even when one is not actively engaged in studying Torah. There is no break. Torah is always on one's mind. Top 79. Mori Verabi, my master and teacher, Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, adds a different nuance to answer this question. He argues that if one's actions and standards of behavior are based on one's learning, then living a life of Torah is also a fulfillment of the bracha, la'asok b'divrei Torah, to be involved in the matters and words of Torah. Even when one is not actually studying, one is still considered engaged in Torah. There is a midrash that praises Chanoch, Enoch, a mysterious character from the earliest chapters of Genesis. The midrash calls him a tzaddik, a righteous man. What made him righteous? The midrash explains that Enoch, Chanoch, was a cobbler, and with each turn of the needle, he declared, Baruch Shem Kivod Machuso Leolam Va'et. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever. Even repairing a pair of shoes can become sacred when we take pride in the work and dedicate it to God. In the frame of Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner that we saw earlier, Chanoch did not even have two rooms in his house. He had one expansive room in his soul that included all the parts of who he was. By the way, I gave a whole talk on Chanoch Enoch, I'm proud to say, several years back. Rashi quotes a midrash that he was taken away from the world because the pasuk is unusual, that he was here, ve'enenu, then he was not here. Very strange talk in the pasuk. It's an unusual pasuk, mysterious. So he quotes a midrash that says that he used to flip back and forth from righteousness to non-righteousness, and then God said, listen, I'm going to take you while you're righteous. This way, you shouldn't flip back. Or words of that effect. That's Rashi quoting a midrash. But I must tell you, I found many, many, many midrashim, and they all uniformly paint him as a tremendous tzaddik. I don't understand, therefore, Rashi quotes what he quotes. I guess you have a question, why is the pasuk written so unusually? It's very weird. But still, there are so many midrashim, and they all point to his great righteousness. He wasn't just a cobbler. Some say that he was a teacher of Torah for centuries. Centuries! He lived a very long life. And he taught Torah to princes and kings in the world. And then he got up to heaven. He was one of the 10 or so people who went to heaven alive. And now he transformed into Metatron. Metatron is like the secretary of the recording secretary of heaven. He writes down stuff. I think there was a story. One of the rabbis went on an astral projection into heaven. And when he saw Metatron, he began to think, wow, wait a second. Who is this? Who is this that I can see? Who is this who I think it might be? Because who else could be so great? And the angel said, calm yourself down. That's Metatron. Don't start thinking about, you know, there's more than one God. There's only one God on the throne. He's the recording secretary. He said, wow, that's the recording secretary? He was duly impressed. The fact is that Chanoch was a teacher of Torah for centuries, not just a mere shoemaker and shoe fixer. Continuing, for us at YU, the Torah is not only lived throughout the day through prayer and study, it is also in the front of our minds as a conscious lens when making decisions. Our behavior and character are all informed by Torah. Rabbi Soloveitchik once said that if he could write a 14th Animamin, if he could add one principle to these iconic declarations of faith, it would be that the Torah applies in every generation, in every boardroom, on the court and in a court, in our dining rooms and our dorm rooms, in the office and on vacation. We're not afraid that the Torah will lose its relevance. We don't need to hide it or be ashamed of it. We trust in its enduring value, its wisdom, and its relevance to any situation in which we find ourselves. It is what helps us pass Rava's test, the test of the famous questions. Did you study Torah? Were you honest? Did you look forward to the redemption? This approach to life enables us to see every moment of the day as holy and precious. Top page 80. It is hard to be well-adjusted and happy when we think that the way that we spend the majority of hours is simply instrumental, a task to get through in order to support what we really want to do. We don't focus on the joy of work, and we risk dissipating the holiness of the work itself, no matter what job we have. We see what we do as separate from who we are. But for us, work is also a tefillah, a prayer, both in the content of what we are doing to support human flourishing and in the way we do it. This means working with integrity in finance, compassion in medicine, impartiality in law, and menschlichkeit in everything. Our divine service, our Avodat Hashem, is expressed in the way we relate to our bosses, supervise employees, and treat customers. Every moment we are in the workforce, we have an opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Barabim, to be able to sanctify God's name publicly. We bring our values into the world and celebrate them. This approach underlies a philosophy that I once heard explained by my teacher, Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter. One of the opinions in the Midrash is that the letter that marked Cain's bed after he killed his brother Hevel was a letter Vav. The letter Vav. That's number 6 in the Hebrew Gematria. The letter Vav corresponds to the number 6. The letter Vav by itself can and does mean and in the Hebrew. And. So Cain's head was marked with the letter Vav after having killed Hevel. Why would Cain need to walk around his whole life with a Vav? Because the letter Vav in a sentence is a connector, known as the Vav Achibur. This, the, that. This, u, that. And the letter Vav, therefore, acts as a connector. It means the word and. It brings two parts together and says they can live in a relationship to one another. Cain's sin was that he split apart from others, and he needed to learn the importance of connection. Building on this idea, my colleague, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, called this the philosophy of and. In psychology, we call this dialectical thinking. Too often we find people framing their choices in life as either or. Cain thought either he would succeed as beloved to God, or Hevel would be the beloved one. It was an either or perspective. But the truth is, in the end, it's not one or the other. It's both. Top page 81. So many students are stuck in an either or perspective. Instead, bring your full self, all of your spiritual kochot, all your strengths and abilities into your life decisions to determine where you can most excel and make a significant impact. When you discover that, you will have found your Avodat Hashem, your service to God. This is an essential life lesson that naturally flows from our model of education, which focuses on the and, the Torah, and the Mada, secular knowledge. This, at times, creates some tension for our students who begin YU immediately after they leave the intensity of a year or two in Israel, where they spent early mornings davening and late nights learning Torah with no tests and no grades, enjoying the gift of simply studying Torah full time. That was, thank God, a gift that I gave myself, too. After I graduated college, I went up to Israel for 2.5 years. That's 3.5 years of my life, outside of, you know, happily married and all that. But wow, those 2 years were just a wonderful, wonderful experience. A few years ago, I was speaking to some students in our post-Pesach program. They had just returned from Israel, and I asked them how they were finding YU. One of the students said that he was enjoying being here, but he found one element particularly difficult. In his past yeshiva, he said, if he missed Shacharis in the morning, one of his rebbes called to check up on him. At YU, he could miss minyanim, and no one would ever know. I explained to him that when he gets older and moves to a community to start the next phase of his life, no one will call him if he misses minyan. In that sense, YU is helping him transition to the rest of his life in the loving context of yeshiva with rebbeim and educators who care. We are educating you to want to live an integrated life with personal responsibility, to be out in the world as a full Eved Hashem, servant of God, utilizing your entire range of kochot, your strengths, in the service of the Jewish people and all of society. Top page 82. YU is your bridge to the rest of your life. It's the first time you have to be truly conscious of how you will balance many competing values and how you will integrate your Torah into your professional choices, your social choices, your dating, your volunteering, and your decision about the community in which you want to settle down. At this very impressionable time in your life, you will make decisions that impact the entirety of your life. These decisions will be even wiser if they are made in a spirit of wholeness and happiness. Know that this is where Torah Chaim comes in, a life of a Torah of life. Some of our life goals will not involve the immediacy of holiness we experience when we recite a mizmor of Psalms or learn in the Beit Midrash deep into the night. Keep in mind that there is immediate holiness and there is long-term holiness. Raising a family, for example, is central to living a Torah life. It is the best and most literal expression of Jewish continuity. There is little more meaningful in life than learning with one's children and passing down our Mesorah to the next generation. But as anyone who has children knows, along with all the gratifying hours are all the difficult physical and emotional demands. Similarly, going to work enables us to support our lives and contribute to society, but not every moment will be easy and fulfilling. One of our goals at Yeshiva is to help you experience the immediacy of Kedusha, of holiness, and create a personal life strategy that allows for the long-term pursuit of holiness. It should also be noted that there are challenges in living and working in a broader society that espouses values and mores that run counter to our Torah teachings. All parents know how difficult it is to help their children navigate the tension between tradition and an increasingly complex world. And this is also essential to our education. Located at the nexus between tradition and innovation, YU provides you with the tools for critical self-reflection. This can help you weather the storms and tempests of contemporary moral discourse so that you leave here both rooted and nimble, anchored in our values, and equipped with the language and sophistication necessary for success in the world in the years that follow. Top page 83. We are uniquely qualified to raise engaged Jewish citizens for whom Judaism is vibrant and essential to their lives and for whom work is vibrant and essential to their lives. Some of you come to campus with a full day school education. Some of you come from public school with little to no previous Jewish education. Here at Yeshiva, you will find friends for life and often soulmates and partners for life. Here at YU, you have the opportunity not only to learn about Judaism, but also to experience Judaism, to appreciate that Shabbos is not just something we keep, it is something we treasure, and that living a life of faith adds significance and happiness to our lives. Our yeshiva is fully committed to Torat Chaim, a Torah of life. We are proud to offer a comprehensive, integrated educational program designed to produce the Jewish leaders of the next generation and beyond who are firmly committed, forward-focused, engaged in the world, and pillars of society. Your education here will transform your life as it has already transformed the Jewish people throughout the world. With blessing, Avi Berman. Letter number 13. Be kind. Compassion and Torah Chesed, a life of kindness, a Torah of kindness. My dear student, many years ago when I was a rabbi at the Jewish Center in Manhattan, I needed to travel to Englewood, New Jersey to pay a shiva call to a member whose father had passed away. I was living in Manhattan and my wife had the car that day. I was discussing my logistical problem with my father, who lived in Queens. Immediately, my father volunteered a solution. He drove from Queens to my apartment, an hour away, then drove me another 45 minutes to the shiva call, and then waited until I was finished to drive me back to the city. This sort of kindness, of being present in whatever way he could be helpful, stands in my mind as a metaphor for what my father has always done for me throughout my life, transported me, supported me, driven me to achieve more, and to be a better person. Top 86. From when I was a child until my adult years, his advice, support, and love have been essential to my personal development. I attribute my sense of self to my mother's love. From the time I was very little, my mother expressed through words and actions how much she believed in me. I remember that when I was a child and all the adults were busy talking at the Shabbat table, If she thought I had something to say, she quieted everyone down to make room for my voice. She made me feel that whatever I had to say was important, and it made me feel like I was important. No one is born into a Beit Midrash. We grow into Torah. Our first experiences in life are not about achievements. They are about being loved, simply because our parents love us. Study, learning, and achieving are acquired disciplines and dispositions, activities in which we engage as we age and mature. But unconditional love is the first thing we experience. This is similar to the love that God has for all of us, as was poignantly expressed by Jeremiah when he likened the people of Israel to a dear son and delightful child for whom God always has compassion. Of course, that would be from the liturgy of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, taken from Jeremiah. Haven yakir li Ephraim, im yelet sha'ashur, kimi de dabribo, zachor es kerenu ot, al kin havu me'ay lan, rachem arachmenu, right? Nu Hashem. Is not Ephraim a beloved child to me? Isn't he, yakir li Ephraim, im yelet sha'ashur, is he not like a delightful child to play, you know, on one's knees, if you will, like to play with? Because whenever I talk about him, I remember him. Therefore, my innards, my intestines are moved for him, says the Almighty God. Incredible pasuk. He writes, and what about Banim Atem Lashem Elokecha? You are children to the Almighty your God, Moshe says in Deuteronomy 14. And our rabbis point out that Chiba Yaseir Nodas Lahem, there's an additional element of love revealed there, because God makes known to us our special relationship with him. See more at Pirkei Avot, chapter 3. For me, Torah Chesed, a Torah of kindness, is bound up with this love. We come into a world swathed in love, a love that should spill over to others. Love is the key and driving force behind all Chesed, behind all kindness. As Maimonides writes in Ilkos Avel, when codifying acts of kindness, such as visiting the sick, comforting the mourner, and celebrating with a bride and groom, all of these rabbinically mandated acts of kindness are fulfillments of the Torah directive of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, love your friends as yourself, by Yikra, Leviticus 19. Despite all of the difficulties entailed in loving another as we love ourselves, we have exemplars in the love of our parents, our friends, our spouses, and our God. By channeling that feeling and translating it into actions, we fulfill this positive commandment that stands at the center of our tradition. Top page 87. In Tanakh, in the Hebrew Bible, one of the ways in which friends are referred to is with the Hebrew word, the root mem chaf resh. The verb would be lahakir, to recognize, to know, to recognize, from the word for recognition. In his book, Totality and Infinity, Emmanuel Levinas observes that our most intimate experiences emerge just from recognizing someone else's face. The face is a source from which all meaning exists. It is this that helps us see God in the presence of another person. In the face, the other expresses his eminence, the dimension of height and divinity from which he descends. End quote. Every moment and every way we treat, act toward, and recognize others is a religious experience and one potentially filled with great meaning. This idea perhaps finds its greatest expression in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies chamber in the Beit HaMikdash. The Ark of the Covenant is placed in the Holy of Holies, and on its cover are two kruvim, two cherubs, who face each other. The spot in which the divine presence is understood to rest is right between these kruvim. The message is that God is found in between the gaze of two faces looking at one another. At YU, kindness is not simply an aspiration, as it is on most college campuses. Here it is an essential component of our educational philosophy. We express it in many ways, including many of the extracurricular activities organized through our student council and the Office of Student Life, such as food drives, visits to homeless shelters, and volunteer opportunities to teach science in local public schools. But at YU, Chesed is not an extracurricular activity. It is an inherent and integral way we relate to each other. There are so many opportunities here to express and experience this kind of chesed, this kind of kindness. One of our core strengths is that we attract students with varied backgrounds from all across the world, from Morocco to Miami, Panama to Peoria, Los Angeles to Lawrence. The fact that each student is choosing to spend his or her undergraduate years with Torah studies as a key part of the curriculum creates a self-selected unifying element across the student body. But within that group lies much diversity from which one can distinguish differences and grow. To experience this, all you need to do is extend yourself in kindness. View each fellow student as someone who has also created B'Tselem Elokim and appreciate their inherent goodness. When I was in yeshiva as a student, I sat in the Beit Midrash next to a fellow student who really did not want to be at YU. He did not personally believe in YU's philosophy. He preferred to study in the more right-wing yeshiva and was only at YU because his parents forced him to attend. I was in Rabbi Rosenzweig's shir, learning with my morning chavrusa, and over the course of the year, we became friends with our neighbor, talking about what we were learning and experiencing in our regular day-to-day life. By the end of the year, he told us that he had convinced his parents to allow him to switch out of YU. But sitting next to us throughout the year, gave him an appreciation of YU's worldview and philosophy. We did not argue with him or convince him with proofs. We just saw him and interacted with him as a friend. The effect of friendship flows naturally. The profound sense of connection between individuals through the medium of chesed is an essential part of our worldview. When we develop our Tzelem Elokim as an expression of Torah Adam, the Torah of mankind, we do not do it simply for self-actualization. We do it for others. We are each deeply and inherently connected to one another through the virtue of kindness. To borrow once again from Rabbi Soloveitchik's archetypes of Adam the first Adam, Adam number one, and Adam number two, the Adam of Genesis 1 was created with his partner. The first human was a dyad rather than an individual. Primordial man was born connected to someone else. Top page 89. As a result of this kind of creation, Adam number one did not define himself as we so often do in contrast to someone else. His was a communitarian notion of personal identity. Our personalities and identities are shaped by our relationships to others, which in turn create inherent responsibilities. Adam the first, by being born with someone else, was born into a relationship, into a family, into a community of two. Adam the second, the person who is aware of his existential reality as someone truly alone, emerged, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, only later, in the second chapter. It is the exact opposite of what we might expect, namely that we are first created alone and only later enjoy the company of others. In Rabbi Soloveitchik's reading, we are created first with the other, and only then do we become aware of our solitude. In between the two categories of yachid, individual, and tzibur, the community, are the relationships you cultivate with those closest to you, your family, friends, and when the time is right, your spouse. They are not exactly a tzibur in a technical sense. The kindness you do for them also emerges from v'ahavta kamocha. You should love your neighbors, you love yourself, the mitzvah to love one another as yourself. The moment you are more than one, you are a community of love. In my experience, this element of chesed is one of the core characteristics of YU students. There is a standard here of menschlichkeit and goodness, from our everyday interactions to the way we conduct ourselves in the workplace and to our leadership roles in the community. People associate YU students with a certain kind of person, one who embodies chesed. Every day, in the paragraph beginning with Sim Shalom, at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, at the end of the standing Amidah, we ask God to grant peace goodness and blessing to all of Israel, noting that Hashem has given us a Torah Chesed, the Ahavat, Torah Chayim, the Ahavat Chesed, a Torah of life and a love of kindness. Of course, that's, by the way, that's exactly what the prophet wants us to have. What does Hashem want from you, he says, but, you know, to pursue justice, the Ahavat Chesed, and a love of kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. I regard this as a mandate, not only to love doing chesed, kindness, but also to root the chesed that we do in love. I hope that you experience this kind of love and goodness, and that you always pass it on. Bivracha, with blessing, Ari Berman. He's writing beautifully, my friends. He's writing beautifully. I'm so happy I was able to share those two lovely letters with you. Please join us tomorrow night for Tanakh Tuesday. All these classes are open to men and women, not just the Tanakh class. Women are always invited to the Midrash, Talmud, book club, everything we do. It's open to both men and women. So come join us. Tell your friends, your family, your spouses, whatever you got, tell them. God's help. We've got up tomorrow night, 7:30, Tanakh Tuesday, as we begin the final chapter of 2 Kings, chapter 25. With God's help, be able to finish that. I'm hoping to finish something in time for my father's yahrzeit, which is Hei Ba'adar Beis, the fifth day of the second month of Adar. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. I look forward to it. And I thank everybody for joining us today. Please join us again tomorrow night at 7:30 for Tanakh Tuesday. Thank you, Mitch and Jake, for all you do for us at sheerenjoyment.com. Thank you to the Wallace family for sponsoring the Shiurim. May they be an aliyah for the Neshama of Gedalia ben Moshe and success for the IDF, healing for those in hospitals throughout the state of Israel, and a release of the hostages held by the Hamas Nazis. May we all see the coming of Mashiach quickly, speedily in our days. May Rav Yemenu Amen. Wishing everybody a great one. Stay warm, stay safe. See you tomorrow night, 7:30. Take care and be well. Shmuel Lasker signing off for Gulf Meadows Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies. Have a great day. Bye-bye.